Elliot.
Hello, that's me. Did you
Hello.
see that Valve has released the new major dates for the next like 2 years?
Yeah, this is. I know they talk about Valve time, but 2 years is a bit much. I
Two
don't know
years
what I'm
plus.
doing next week, never mind in 2 years' time.
Yeah. There's some major changes involved with it. So
Major
there's
changes. See what you did there?
major changes.
Major changes.
But the bits are that they moved the dates to fix an issue that we have yelled into the void about a lot here.
Clearly not into the void. Clearly they were
Yeah,
listening.
apparently
This is
they're
on us.
listening.
We did this.
We did this. This is our fault. And they moved the majors back. So 2025 will be finishing at the end of June, and the December one will finish halfway through December, meaning it will be the last major before the player break, the last event before the player break, because thank God. Now,
There is God, and he does watch Counter-Strike.
apparently so. There's been a lot of players that are like apparently upset about this. That they're saying that the first half of the year is going to be too long now, and that the second half of the year will be too short because the player break normally falls like right when they're planning on putting the major. The summer major, not the winter major. The winter major, it's fine. No one actually has a real issue with that. Maybe it's a little bit deep, but you just go into January a bit with the player break.
Sorry, hang on. Do they realize they can just the second player break can just end later, so that the breaks will be the same length, so that the season will be the same length of time? It will just start later. It'll be like February to June instead of January to June or something. Like, am I wrong here? Am I
No,
an idiot?
I think you're right. I think
Is this not
everyone's
really
just,
obvious?
yeah, no, I think you're right. If only there was some sort of association that was able to speak for the players, that was perhaps player-led, had players on the board, all the players belonged to. If only there was some sort of association. You could call it the Counter-Strike, the Players Association.
Similar like
The
that.
outlandish idea. On
I understand the joke you're making, but there's no way that would have helped. They were useless. They were fucking useless. Like, this is not. It didn't do anything.
All right. On this episode of Overtime on Inferno, we talk about Blast Premier Fall Spring Group Knockout 3, and then we talk with Swisher about the new M80 project from America. Let's get into it.
Fuck yeah.
America, fuck yeah! All right, let's talk about Blast. All
Fuck
right, so
yeah.
Blast, fuck yeah! All right, so Blast started last week while we were podcasting, and it's finishing today and tomorrow-ish.
I think it's still the 23rd, if I remember rightly.
Well, the groups are finishing tomorrow.
Right, okay.
Yeah. There's some playoffs, but again, nobody wins this shit, so it's
Yeah.
dumb. This is
It's
a
kind
group
of.
stage event. It's
So
like,
I don't mind it purely because it's straight after player break.
yeah,
And
this is a good
I'm
warm
only
up.
really watching to see what all the new teams look like anyway.
Yeah.
It's like. Yeah, I get to watch FaZe versus G2, so I have an idea. Actually, neither of those teams have changed. That's a really
No,
terrible
neither of the
example.
seasons change. That was
I
a
get to
terrible
watch
idea.
Liquid versus somebody, and
Complexity. There you go.
yeah, Liquid versus Complexity, and I get to see what the teams look like in a no, like no pressure or low pressure environment.
Yeah, because no one cares about this because even the teams that lose go to a knockout round where then they can actually lose. This is
Yeah.
literally just a group stage. Like, I know that they call it fall groups, but what Blast have done is they've taken one tournament that's like a major length tournament and said, we're going to break it up over 6 months and
Yeah.
we're going to put the groups in 1 month. And then, like, a month and a half later, when you've forgotten about groups, we're going to put the second bracket, like the loser's bracket. And then, like, a month and a half later, once you've forgotten about all of that, we're going to come back and do playoffs.
My problem with it is that in a group stage, people go out. This isn't even a group. This is a seeding.
Well, it's a double elim.
These are all seeding games. Yeah.
It's double elim. So, like, the second elim is just, like, yeah.
It's odd. It's odd.
Yeah,
is
so there's a bunch of teams here. They have new lineups. It's really annoying when
some of them don't
finish. Oh, there it is. Okay. The HLTV page annoys me about where they put team rosters. Neither here nor there, but it's below the prize distribution.
Right.
But the prize distribution does fuck all when the event is like still going on. It's like
also,
basically at the bottom.
I don't actually care how much money the players earn from prize money. Maybe that's just me being selfish.
No.
Yeah.
The only prize pool that's in Counter-Strike that I know is the Grand Slam prize pool.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I only care about the gold bars because they're cool.
Yeah, exactly. Because you get a gold bar handed to you like that.
Yeah. That's
in
cool.
Malta, obviously.
When people talk about, we need to raise the major prize pool, it's like, why do you care? You're not in it.
Do you know what the prize pool for League of Legends Worlds is?
No, because I don't care.
It's like a mil.
Yeah.
Like, the whole prize pool is like a mil. It's not like the winning team. No, it's just... It's like MSI is like 500K, and like no one cares because it's a franchise league and everything, but like, it's just... No one cares about prize pool and anything other than Dota.
I'm sure
the
players care, but
I'm
not a player.
Yeah. I don't care. Dota is its own thing, for what it's worth, because their prize pool is like community fun. Okay, let's talk about teams. Let's talk about Blast. I want to quickly run through teams that didn't make changes.
Yeah,
Heroic didn't make changes. Guess what?
Still good.
They look exactly the fucking same. There's your Heroic conversation.
Well, look about 4 weeks older.
Yeah. FaZe didn't make any changes on the surface. We'll talk about this. And they look exactly the same. FaZe,
oh,
for what it's worth.
Actually, I'd say they look a bit better today.
You
at
think
least.
They look better?
SG2 looks so, a lot better.
Yeah, so FaZe have, Robin has retired due to personal things. I don't know if he's officially retired, but he's leaving the team due to some personal things that's happening. I think that the rumors right now are that Neo, former FaZe stand-in, I think it was a Dust2 announces that we think that Neo is announced. I don't know if that's actually announced.
Okay.
Rumors are that Neo, former FaZe stand-in, and I guess he was part of the Golden 5 Virtus Pro, is going to become the new coach, at least temporarily.
Cologne roster list.
Yeah. We don't know that it's a permanent thing, but we know the temporary it's happening. G2 didn't make any moves. I swear to God, this team doesn't look like anything normally, so I can't tell you if they look exactly the same.
Yeah, they do. They have... Nico wins a 1v4, and it's to make it 10-4. Bow.
Yep.
That's, it's normal Nico stuff. Like, he's won a massive clutch, they're still losing 10-4. They lose the map. They lose 2-0. Great. Fantastic. What a waste of time. I'm amazed G2 didn't make a change.
Yeah,
absolutely
amazed. G2 seemed prime for change making, but I think as you and I talked about, it's like, who the fuck do you change unless you full rebuild?
It's really hard. You can basically only change Fuxi, but they've already changed in-game leader, and it gave them like 6 weeks of being good, and then they just fell back to their old ways.
All right, so those are the teams that didn't make changes. Now let's get to the bit that we actually care about, because realistically, this event is just a nice appetizer for Cologne. And we care about the teams that we're going to be seeing new at Cologne, because that actually matters. This doesn't. Let's start with Vitality. They're really fucking good. They're still really
pretty
fucking
much.
Good.
Pretty much.
I think they're probably better with FlameZ, but, like, I don't know if I've noticed that they're particularly better with FlameZ.
What I'll say is, it's really hard to know how much the changes mattered, because they played Complexity and fucking EG. Evil Geniuses.
Hey,
and they said them both.
That's the top two American teams.
No, it isn't. M80 are the best American team right now.
M80 hasn't played against a top 30 opponent yet.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
We'll talk later in the podcast about with Swisher about his North America rankings. We'll see what he has to say on that. Yeah, but I mean, Vitality still look good. Like, I guess that we can't really tell. But on the other hand, they 2-0'd the teams they should have 2-0'd, and they don't look like they've skipped a beat. And Zywoo has looked real good. And so, like, what more do we need?
Yeah, they're still Vitality. They're still probably the best team in the world.
Like, over four maps. Like, so I'm looking at the stats right now, right? Over four maps, Majisk and Zywoo have the highest ratings with a 1.47 and a 1.44.
Like you said, it's basically a group stage, so Zywoo is just going to be the best player in the world.
Yeah, and Flamesy, Sphinx, and Apex follow the rest of the top six. The only non-Vitality player that's in the top six is Staun. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it.
Again, they've played Complexity and Evil Geniuses.
Yeah.
It's important not to get like too excited. They're currently playing NIP as well, and you know
it's a little closer.
I do. Until they play somebody decent, I'm not interested.
Yeah. All right. Next team on the list. Let's talk about the new Liquid lineup. I want to start this off with. I saw a Reddit post the other day about Team Liquid League of Legends. Okay.
Yeah.
And basically, the guy on Reddit was like, I hate watching this team because they have the best early game in the league, and then in the middle of the game, they fumble it and give you a heart attack to win the game, maybe. And I realized that Team Liquid in every single esport plays exactly the same. Not in that they have a great early game, it's that they will give you a heart attack along the way in the game, and even when you change out the two people who have been at Team Liquid for the longest time, they're still going to give you a heart attack and throw games.
Yeah. I mean, this team is very new, and there's a lot of things that have to go right for it to be good. I think it's quite encouraging for Team Liquid fans how solid they look already.
Yeah, so the second bit of this is, I actually like a lot of what I'm seeing. Team Liquid plays the same in every fucking esport, and I felt the need to bring this up.
Do you remember, like, a month or two ago when we had a discussion after the major about how, like, teams like Mouse and OG are going to get shit-stumped by Tier 2 because the Tier 2 teams just play so many games and they just, they have to improve. Rain Waker is proof of this concept because the guy has played, like, 2,000 maps or something in 3 years, 4 years. He's played more maps in the last few years than anyone else in Tier 1. And you can just kind of tell when he's in a late round situation, he's seen every conceivable position. He's been in every conceivable fight you can imagine, like, on any map in the pool. He knows what to do in every situation because he's just simply got so many reps that he just knows everything there is to know. He doesn't have to, like, mess around. He doesn't have to think on the spot. And he's just so... And, it's so calming, like, because he's just... He doesn't... He can just compose himself and just, like, you know, go on muscle memory alone. The guy is... He's mustard. He's really good.
He's mustard.
He's mustard.
I like that. So Liquid actually have beat G2, who, again, G2 are suspect to begin with, and beat FaZe, who FaZe have actually looked fairly okay. Fairly good. There was a good fight there. The two new additions, I wouldn't say that they were like game breaking and fantastic, but Rain Waker has been a decided upgrade over Nitro, and I think Patsy has held his own in every bit, and it seems Yekindar has found some sort of form again.
Yeah, Yekindar has basically signed Patsy to be a what I would describe as a dedicated lunatic, and then
the Yekindar role.
Yeah, and then Yekindar can like move into more. I want to use the word baity roles. Like he can actually
he's
like
blame F.
Yeah, he's not blame
but,
F,
but like not
he's more
to
like,
that degree at all.
He's more actually like Illege or something. He's like he's actually being the second man in, or he's the third man in. Like he's not being as aggressive as he was before because he has Patsy to do that. So why would he?
Yeah. I'm really liking how this team is turning out, how it's working out. Super enjoying. Ninjas in Pajamas made one move. But let's be clear, it was an important move, because they removed Alexi B and added Hampus, so they added one viable rifler on the entire team of whatever an IP is.
Dude, I don't know what this team is supposed to do. I don't like. Brolan sucks, man. He's actually, as I'm saying this, having a really good game against Vitality.
And he had a really good game the other day too.
Did he?
We were like 28-3 or something. Not that hard. Wait, I don't remember what it was. I feel like it was an overpass game they played. I could be wrong.
Let's have a look.
Absolutely,
I seem to remember him being dog shit in every game I saw. So,
okay,
he went 36-28 in Map 1 against EG.
There we go.
It was against EG, rounds, which is fine.
Okay. Here's my problem with NIP, and this is not a new problem. I don't know if I voiced this, but this has been my problem for like the last year and a half, okay? Ninjas in Pajamas, historically Swedish team, right? Legendary, like House Get Right and Forest for a while, won a major, right? Historically super, like Swedish team, right? And I can fault them for being kind of shit and kind of garb if they're being a Swedish team. But the problem is they went out and they spent and they brought in Config and they brought in Headtrick. Now, I don't know how expensive Config was because he had like assault charges or something.
Yeah,
shit.
I don't think he'd have been expensive.
But Headtrick probably was not cheap.
He was expensive, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So they went out and spent on these players who are not Swedish to make a pseudo-international roster. So now your Swedish folks are speaking English, but you're still trying to cling to the Swedish. This team has an identity, but it doesn't know what it doesn't have an identity. Like it thinks it has an identity, and then at every turn that it possibly can get says, no, fuck your identity, we're going somewhere else.
Yeah, I actually completely agree that this team is a little lost. Like it's not a Swedish team,
but it is a Swedish team. It's
team, but like it's not really. And then like what's the plan for this team to win games? Do you see what I mean? They have three aggro riflers, one of whom has become more passive in res. But you have Brolan and Config, who both kind of want to do the same thing. And you're kind of going all in on Brolan and Config just like running in and killing people, which is just not a reliable plan. And they might win the odd game. They might even have the odd run where Brolan and Config actually combine and win games.
Yeah.
Or Hampus drops 30, like he used to. But I don't see the ceiling for this roster ever being above 12th in the world.
Yeah. And if they're put higher than that, it's because they had a really good run in HLTV's, like, hidden say, hey, that run was real good. So you get brought up in the standings. It's not going to be a consistent base, right? It feels like Headtrick is very stable. He's going to be
Headtrick's good.
He's good. Like good I have player. No issues with Headtrick. I think Hampus is the best is the best player than Headtrick on this team. At least he's
definitely
the most consistent player.
He definitely was before he took a break. I think he'll take a little while to get back there. He is very passive and. But somebody has to be on this team.
Yeah, someone has to be on this team. So
because there's so much aggression on this team. Maybe Hampus is just really, really good again and they'll breach top 10. But I think that's about their only chance. I don't know. I would have... The thing is, I can say like I would have liked to see more changes, but I don't know what change they could realistically do. Help.
Well, that's the problem is they have this identity that they're trying to stick to, but then they don't at all.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is that they're really trying to like stick to this identity. NIP needs to go have like a vacation into the mountains and meditate on what they want to be.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong and this team will actually be good.
I don't believe that.
I don't think so either. But
to be fair, we've been doing this podcast for like 2.5 years and every single time we think NIP is going to be shit, they turn out to be okay for like five minutes.
That's
so.
What he says. Maybe I'm just wrong. I don't know.
All right, let's go to the next team. Astralis. Blame F calling with Borup and Stare. RIP Altez.
I don't know what Altex did wrong. I've said it so many times. I still don't get it, man. We like Borup, Stare, both good players, but like Borup an upgrade on Altex? Maybe. It doesn't seem like a noticeable one to me.
Yeah.
Altex seems like the kind of guy who's going to go to like another Danish team and pop off.
Yeah. No, he's heroic talent when they're ready to switch something out.
Maybe not heroic, but like he'll go to like Ecstatic or...
I was going to say, he can't go to Trick isn't there anymore.
Yeah, I think Ecstatic are the old team, but they lost a bunch of players recently. Or they lost them in-game leader at least.
Yeah, they lost Max. Yeah, a little weird. I have nothing great to say about Astralis. I don't have faith in this lineup. And here's the thing, like, I never had faith in Astralis because I'm an NA homer and fuck Astralis. But like, on the other hand, even taking all by, I don't have faith. Like, there's nothing that says to me like, hey, this lineup is good, or there's a way for this lineup to get better. Right, we've seen Blame F, we've definitely seen Device, and we've seen a lot of Borup, from Heroic, right? So you're hoping that Buzz and Stare are going to be your sparks that they're going to show something new that like Glaive and Zip couldn't show or something like that.
Yep.
And I just don't think they can.
I will never believe in a Blame F team to be
better than good.
I do think he is just a flawed player, and I think that's fine if your goal is to be top 10. But I think if your goal is to be the best team in the world, I don't think you can ever be it with Blame F.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about complexity.
At the moment, Astralis would probably take top 10, though. So.
Yeah. Complexity. They changed out Fang for Liege.
Yep.
This move didn't look bad on paper. And they beat NIP in the first round, and then they lost to NIP in the second round. They lost to Vitality, but everyone loses to Vitality. I don't know how to feel about this yet. I think that this move needs to be given a little bit more time. To be fair, I think every move here needs to be given a little bit more time. But I think this move is going to be a lot of more learning a system from a Liege that he hasn't played in, because he's played in the same Liquid system for like 8 years or some shit like that. And I think that it's going to be a little bit of a different curve, and the rest of the players trying to learn from Liege. I think this is going to be like, after Cologne, we'll start to see some like hopefully benefits. We saw some like a little bit better to start with. I mean, I don't think normally Complexity beat NIP, but
I don't know.
I
better player than Fang.
Yeah.
My concern would be a personality one.
Mm-hmm.
Floppy is a very, like, comes across as quite a quiet guy. Don't think JT's particularly, like, forceful. I feel like a Liege probably is a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we'll
Randy
see
from Alabama.
How it plans out. I'm not massively keen on the move, personally, but we'll see.
I don't know. Evil Geniuses. They look like, and I mean this without trying to be like meaner, they look like a tier 2 North American team.
Yep. That's what they are.
That's what they are. That's what they look like. I have no further comments on the matter. This
the
team won't be good for a little bit. And
no, and you're willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because of who they, like, because they've actually decided, no, we're going to commit to the young talent.
Yeah.
We're just going to give them time.
Yeah.
Allegedly. That's what they've and that's fine. Like, you're willing to say, okay, fine. I don't think they should be allowed to be a part of the team because of that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But whatever.
There's like nothing more to say on EG. I think that. Yeah. Big with the Mantu Process Sin roster. I don't have anything great. It's
big question mark still. Like
the biggest of question marks, actually, I'd say.
I think they've shown enough where you're like, I get what Big are trying to do. You know, when you watch each of these players individually, like, yeah, they're actually all pretty good. One thing that's interesting about them, is one of the big players in an interview, I think with Blix, said Tabson isn't in-game leading anymore. It's Sin.
Correct. They said Sin was a...
Yeah, which is, well, A, going to take some more time. B, very strange. Because I remember Sin being quite a bit of a star rifler, like an aggro star rifler when he first came into Big.
usually don't make great in-game leaders.
I don't mind that. I don't mind it, though. Not limited versus. I don't care about moving it to Sin, specifically. But moving it off of Tabson, I don't mind, in theory. Because Tabson has always been the best player.
He can refine
form,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's not been in good form for a while now.
I know, but historically, Tabson has just been the best German player, and every team has been built around Tabson, right? So let's... This is like, it's trying to say, like, let's put our best player in the best possible scenario with all the best possible, like, tools at his disposal. Go. And, right, some of the best tools at his disposal is he doesn't have to IGL. He's taking care of business. That Sin says what he's doing. And plus, to be fair, they have a really good coach behind them as far as, like, coaches and theoretical coaches are. And as much as we don't actually know where the fuck a coach does, like, Gobby is the one behind him who has been, like, just because your hands go doesn't mean your brain goes.
Yeah.
He's one of the best IGLs that Counter-Strike ever saw, so he's standing behind them, and there's a part there in that hopefully the plan is that Gobby and Tabson are training Sin to be this IGL, and Tabson gets to focus on Tabson.
Yep.
I like
yeah,
that
I agree,
idea.
But I got it there. We'll say it's that roster is going to need 6 months.
Yeah.
And Cologne, they're also not playing with their full roster. Mantu's not playing. Sensi is. So,
yeah.
That roster's going to take a while before it's good, if it's good.
Yeah.
That one, big question mark still.
I want to talk about OG before we talk about the other team that's on this list.
Worse than I imagined.
Yeah. This team just feels like OG lost all their players. No one wanted to join them and said, who can we promote from tier two without spending everything ever?
They didn't even promote from tier two.
I mean, like, who can we, what's the best players we can get for the money who will actually join us?
Yeah. Yeah, bizarre. I mean, when they first came into Counter-Strike, it felt like they were splashing the cash, and now they're like, oh shit, that didn't work. We need to go cheaper. Which can work if you know what you're doing. I thought with the moves they picked up, they either had a plan that I hadn't foreseen or they had no idea what they were doing. And I think
it's the
gave them the benefit of the doubt. And now I'm like, okay, maybe no, you just...
You know, they have no fucking clue.
I don't know who the star on this team is supposed to be. I thought they might change it to Fiku, or they might bring Fasha into like slightly better roles. I'm still not sure who the star is supposed to be. I need to watch them more intently, but I don't particularly want
to. All right, and now let's talk about the last team on the list, which was the biggest move in all of rosters, which was Na'Vi shunting away their half their team, 60% of their team, bringing in IMJ on Alexi B. I want to start with the fact that Alexi had an interview with HLTV and said, and people were like, HLTV, Alexi's already ruining this team. And Alexi came out and was like, this is Blade's team. I just sit there and do what I'm told. I have no decision-making powers.
This seems fucking insane. Like, it doesn't make any sense at any level. This team is mental. I don't know who's supposed to play where. I don't know.
It seems like they move at every map. It seems like these are like the first six scrims of this team.
Yeah.
Like they've played six maps, seven maps, eight maps. I can do math. Seven maps. If I can count. Okay. They won into 2-1 to Astralis. They lost 0-2 to Heroic. They won 2-0 against Big, right? They've played seven maps. I'm pretty sure they have not played the same positions in any fucking map across the board.
It was Simple Will, because Simple gets to pick.
Yeah, Simple Will, but...
The problem, the actual big problem with Na'Vi at the moment, and it's nothing to do with all these changes, it's that Simple is not Simple. And when Simple's not playing well, he's also a worse teammate. Like, you notice, like, on Twitter, like, he's... Or not even on Twitter, but, like, when you look at him on screen, he, like, looks angrier. Mm-hmm. He always seems to be, like... You can ask Sunday Young about this. He always seems to be blaming somebody else. And what it largely boils down to is that he's not as good as he was 2 years ago at the moment. And I'm sure it's still in there. Like, don't get me wrong.
Oh,
yeah. He'll be great. But he's not great at the moment. Like, go and look at his ratings at Blast. Go and look at his ratings at the Major, etc. Like, they're fine. They're not Simple level. And that is the big problem, because this team is built around Simple being the best player in the world. And when he's not the best player in the world, it doesn't matter. Like, if you have Simple and he's a 1.08 player,
why the fuck do you really need this roster?
Yeah, the team is not going to function, because you always have to play to set Simple up, because he's the best player of all time. Like,
yeah. It's not even like an ego thing. It's just that this is the way the roster is built. Eamon's not going to be the guy. JL's not going to be the guy. Alexi sure as fuck isn't going to be the guy.
No, apparently he was.
Simple's going to be the guy.
He's actually a good Counter-Strike player. He's a good leader as well. I just don't think he's a great one. And he's no longer overrated.
He is correctly rated now.
He's actually rated fine now, yeah. Like, he was overrated for years, and now everyone's caught up and now he might become underrated, because people are just like blaming him for things that aren't his fault. The NIP roster was not his fault.
No.
That roster was never going to work. That wasn't his fault.
No NIP roster will ever work. I'm convinced. We'll have more information next week about the rest of Blast and who, and I say this with the strongest of air quotes, wins. one more quick thing, and then we'll toss it over to our interview with Swisher. Overpass came out for the CS2 beta, and Vertigo did as well.
Stunning.
Overpass looks so fucking good.
It's so sexy.
There's so much new stuff. There's already complete meta shifts. The pit that's a main from T-side that goes up into playground is lower now, so you can't actually chuck a molly there at the beginning of the round, which is a huge change in how Overpass has been played and the space you can take.
I think people will have or may already have found ways to do it, but it
looks like Valve is trying to prevent it from being done.
Yeah, which I don't hate, honestly.
Yeah, no, and the map, it looks so good. The water is sick. Like, we could probably spend a solid 20 minutes talking about the water. It now will, like, show a line through the water about, like, where you've been, and the water moves with you. The water itself completely changes the meta, because even when you shift walk, it shows like the little trail of like where you walked because of like waves that you make and shit like that. And Overpass is going to be really cool. Vertigo, the only bit I want to say on this is the fact that they're showing off Vertigo means it's staying in the active duty pool, which is fucking awesome.
I don't
awesome.
Know about that, because they've changed absolutely nothing on the map.
Yeah, well,
absolutely not.
They did
only
the same
changes that one way, like half of one way smokes don't work anymore. So that won't function the same.
I mean, smokes are going to change every single map. A lot of people have refound a lot of the overpass smokes already. It takes 2 seconds for a lot of those people to find it. And they brought out a new group of testers. That's the big CS2 updates. Other than that, we will send this now off to our interview with Swisher, where we talk about M80, North America, and whatever else we end up talking about, because I'm recording this before the interview, which is a really smart tactic by me. And now, coming after our non-ad break, because it's probably just going to be a weird music tone, because really professional at this, Swisher is joining us from M80.
What's going on, guys?
Okay.
How you guys doing?
I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, all good. It's middle of the week. It's wonderful stuff. Coming up,
I realized something about 20 minutes ago. We've had many guests on this show. We have never had a player on the show.
Really?
Yeah. We've had Ryan from Dust2 on about 17 times.
Oh, fuck Ryan.
Agreed. we've had Launders on. We had Regin on.
We had Spray.
Spray.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we do apologize for that one.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
We had Yumi on. We had T-Time on. We've had so many people on. We've never had a player on. I don't know how we've managed to do this. We've been doing this for 2.5 years, and we've managed to never get a player on.
That's crazy. Well, here I am. The first.
Yeah, there you go. The first player on. Okay. We brought you on for one very specific reason. We have adopted M80 as the unofficial team of this podcast because Elliot has a love affair with mobs.
Yeah,
and
big fan.
I'm a North America homer. So
it's perfect.
So we needed to talk to you about what this project is, where do you see it going, and how do you think you fit in with everything else? So let's start with the first thing. What happened? How did this start? Like,
Sicko Dom, he kind of reached out to me, like during the player break and said like, hey, I'd love to start talking. I'd love to start setting things up. He was in talks with a lot of different players, kind of just like feeling the waters with a lot of things. What I was told from Don Sicko was basically almost every player he spoke to said that they want to play with me. And then that basically turned like the centerfold of, okay, then I want him part of my core. And then he was talking about different IGLs and stuff, and Manx became like the centerpiece of that. So it was kind of me and Manx were like the solid first two, and we kind of built the roster around that. I was really happy. I mean, like the other riflers were like kind of up in the air when we were like discussing. I think the two that we got, which is Ethan Wreck and then Malbsario, those were the two that I wanted for sure. Because like at the same time, like you can always have good players on your team, but like if you don't mesh well, I feel like the team's always only going to get so far. And they're both fucking great guys. I love them to death, and they're insane.
Yeah, yeah, we've been seeing Mob's praises for, again, 2.5 years, I think.
Yep. And then,
like, no joke.
And then with Wolfie, I mean, he kind of struggled a little bit on the ATK with us, but to be honest, we didn't even practice. We didn't. I think we played like 2 or 3 scrims in like 3 months. The roster was kind of in a very unfortunate zone.
Yeah,
I've heard some horror stories about ATK.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got beers with Ryan like 2 days after ATK blew up, and I heard
everything.
There were some things that we will not be going into at this point.
I wanted to ask actually about, because you brought up Manx being one of the core players. Like, what is he like as an in-game leader? Because obviously, NA has often had issues with finding great in-game leaders, bringing one in from Denmark. How does that differ from like the American in-game leaders you played under?
Okay, so like literally, we've only scrimmed 3 days. Going into that whole Thunderpuck, we had 3 days of scrims. I think we only went over three maps. I think 3 maps. And and like there was like a few questions like I'd already had, like when like he would say something and think about reactions, like, would like, why is that? Why should we do that? He's like, oh well, realistically, if you're aggroing Car, they should only be here or here on like Inferno if you're like reaggroing like a triple walk. And I'm like, but we got a kill, like should we continue going? He's like, well yeah, since you killed the corner guy, he should only be Car. And I'm like, honestly, that makes sense. But in NA, you just would never expect that. There could be 3 people Car for whatever reason. Who knows? But in EU, of course, that's going to be how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just like things like that. Like, he's very much caught up in meta and like the EU meta. Mm-hmm. And the NA has always been like behind.
Yeah.
NA's always been a month or 2 or 3 months behind EU. So he's already with the EU meta. So it's catch up. Like, we're playing at the same time, like catch up. That's like 4 of us, kind of 3 of us. Catching up to EU meta, as well as learning new roles, learning how to play with each other. So like it's like a very large learning curve at this very, very beginning part. But he's a very smart guy.
That's a good thing to hear about. I want to talk about M80 just as a general, right?
Yeah.
Because for people who are only Counter-Strike fans, this came out of absolutely fucking nowhere. Like, who the fuck is this Oregon stuff? If people have watched Valorant and stuff, they saw the M80 playing like the Ascension, I think it is. I don't know. It's Valorant. Whatever.
I don't know how Valorant works.
Yeah, they played in like the Ascension or whatever it was to try and get the franchise, but not franchise spot and that kind of stuff. So what was it about M80 joining? And do you know if they were planning originally on, we want an American team? Do you know what was the set of entrants from M80 in? Not just on you guys, on your team forming, but their plan, if you know.
What I know is that they were either thinking about getting an NA team or a Danish roster. I'm assuming the Danish roster would have been around Manx as well. I don't know.
That makes sense.
But I don't know like the full details of like what their goal was from like wanting to enter Counter-Strike. But I mean, the time to enter Counter-Strike is like now.
Now, yeah.
Because of CS2, everything kind of, it's the game's going to blow up insane. So they honestly hit it at the right time, and then getting like a literally like the best NA team probably possible you could get, like with free agent players, is like an S tier move.
So where do you it's a very hard question for like you guys being together for like a week or something. Mm-hmm. Where do you think you rank right now within the actual North American teams? And then where do you think you'll rank within like 3 months?
So as
because
of
3 months is like way down the line, and you've got you've like integrated yourself and stuff.
Yeah. So I'd say as of now, let me look at HL or ESL.
I think the ones I care about are like nouns, e.g. Complexity.
I'd say at this moment, all those teams are better than us purely because they should be.
Okay.
They should be better than us. I mean, we have three maps in our map pool. Like,
hey, that's more maps than I've got in my map pool. Okay.
You could argue it's more than EG have in their map pool if you want.
Hey, careful there.
Yeah.
But I'd say realistically, they should be better than us because we would lose every single veto. I mean, we even, for example, like going into the Party Astronauts game just the other day, the Thunder pick, I felt like we should be losing that on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Because like map three was in Mirage. We never played Mirage. We had no scrims on it. I mean, it's Mirage at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's Mirage. Yeah.
But Makes hasn't called on Mirage in like a year and a half or 2 years. It's always been his permaban.
Oh,
so then he's like, does anybody else want to call? I'm like, that's me. I'll call.
Mirage, it's an NA map.
Exactly. And then I was telling him, I'm like, we're going to be fine. We have me on Cat. We've got Mario and Khan, Malbs and Khan, and Rek on A. We're going to be fine on Mirage. So then I was calling that map, and everything was, it was great. Rek was very flow state. Everybody, all the rifles are just, the three of us were banging. It was great. And then for example, going into the wild card game, playing Vertigo, map one, no scrims. We didn't know what spots we were even playing on Vertigo until we were going into the map. They picked it, and we're like, oh, okay, who's playing where?
that's reassuring in a sense that that happens to pro teams, but it's also terrifying that that happens to a pro team. Obviously, you've only been together a week, and if I recall, Ronnie, like two of your players were playing on like 100 ping at Thunderpick, right?
Yeah, so Wolfie and Minx are playing from Denmark and Sweden.
Yep.
And then Malbs is playing from Guatemala. And then me and Rek are in California. And we're playing Chicago servers, right?
Yes.
So I've never been in this situation, but for some reason, I was the lowest ping in the server.
That's just not allowed.
With 55 ping on tab, I was the lowest. And then I think like Wildcard, for example, I think their lowest was 30. Or their highest was 30. But they're all East Coast, so they're like hovering around 15, 20, 30. It's just like, we should be losing that. And then even on that last map, I mean, they beat us on Inferno. But Anubis, we had one scrim on Anubis where we were switching spots constantly in the scrim trying to figure things out. So we shouldn't be winning.
Given all that, it's like good signs that you're even coming close in these maps, right?
Exactly. Like we were generally just playing for the qualifier spot. Getting that was the main priority. And then it's just like, I mean, maybe we could win the event. Unlikely, but maybe.
We could do a little bit of damage somewhere along the line.
I was surprised seeing Wildcard beat Nouns, though. That was surprising to me. I think Nouns are by far the better team.
Nouns seem to change players a lot, though, and I think that probably hurts them quite a bit.
Yeah. I know that they wanted me to join previously, or like not previously, but like during this player break, and I read Carson and Buells, and they reached out to me and stuff, and I was just like, this doesn't make sense for me to join. It would have been in the stamina role. So
yeah, so you would have been IGLing or
IGL
someone else
or opping. It's like, that doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah. He's like, but if we want to play with you, I'm like, but this doesn't make sense. Role-wise, team-wise, nothing makes sense. Sure, I can fill anything, but it just doesn't make sense. And I even told them, I'm like, honestly, stamina, Bobby's like, you're probably like one of your best pickups because he fills that role that you're missing completely.
Yeah, that would have just been a vibe squad, and it would have meant absolutely nothing in terms of role.
Exactly.
The only way you win things is pure vibes and flow state.
Yeah.
It's just
unless you got Mirage, in which case you could.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
True. Very true.
We've seen it. It works. I want to talk about North America generally. We had a lot of things happen in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Liquid became not North American. Complexity got a liege. Nouns switched out Cynic for Stamina. You guys existed. Where do you think we are as in like an ecosystem? Did we become better or worse through the offseason, even without the Liquid move? Like, obviously, because that's a kind of a detriment on its own, but like,
I think generally better. I mean, I think EG.
Oh yeah, I forgot
EG Black going to EG. I mean, yeah. But I think all those moves are generally in the right direction, because I think like that's a upgrade from Complexity getting a Liege. Nouns getting Stamina, like, isn't there arguably like an upgrade? He adds that little bit of structure that they kind of never had. Our team is formed, so it's a whole other team to throw into it. EG Black going to EG, that's a great. The question mark is, I'd say, with like Party Astronauts, the spec pickup is a question mark for me, at least. Because I know like when they tried him out, I was like, are you guys going to like try out a JBA or like Grizz or like any of these other like younger kind of, not, I don't even know if they're younger, but just like other like riflers that have kind of like hovered around like the potential of joining like a more top tier ECL team. And like, now they pick up spec. I'm like, okay, like I'm ready to see what he's here to show me. But I honestly haven't seen a whole lot from him previously. Wildcard have always been kind of like a sleeper team, I'd say, that they've always like had good, really good like regular seasons or good like qualifier runs, but they just always seem to not get over the hurdle at the end, either from experience or things like that. But I know that they were scrimming European teams during this offseason because they're all East Coast, so they can scrim in EU. I think they're scrimming on a UK server.
Yeah, I've played on UK servers before. It's bad, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, I think
they're
getting
like 80, 85.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
with Elliot before, and it sucked, but it was manageable.
Yeah, so I think during that offseason, they were scrimming EU teams primarily. So they're kind of more so in that term, catching up with the meta there. So that's, obviously it's going to be beneficial, but you're still playing at 85 ping, so you're only going to learn so much.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely, everything's going in the right direction. I mean, Liquid's move, I think like I released a whole Twitter thing about it. I think it was very expected.
Yeah.
Well, at least the one EU pickup was expected. Two was not necessarily expected, but understandable.
The thing that I liked about the Liquid move, and I've said this previously on here, but I'll say it to you, is that Yoka Steve and Victor put the giant video of why they were doing it, which I don't see many orgs going and saying, this is why we are making the roster move we are. We understand this is a big change from where we previously were, but this is what led us to make this change. And that like transparency made me feel a lot better about it.
Yeah. I mean,
do you ever think you might go to Liquid?
I mean, maybe one day. I mean, there was a lot of like people like hoping that I would be going to Liquid in the first place, like this
time
around.
Like that.
And I was telling people, like, there's no way. There's just no way. Like, sure, you could believe that, but to me, I don't see myself as like Liquid ready. It's like, that's like trial by fire. Replacing like a Liege in that sense is like literally trial by fire. Getting thrown into the fucking thing, going like, okay, be a 1.2 rated, 1.3 rated player. I guess that's the best team in the world. Like, I could do it, but like they don't expect that. And I think Yekinder, someone just told me last night on my stream that like Yekinder mentioned in an interview that like the NA people that they were looking at were either Automatic, Grimm, or me. And I feel like going for them to go back to Grimm, that's like a little, not necessarily a move that they would probably want to take. Picking up Automatic, that would have been, I think, like their only NA option, in my opinion. I think that would have been the smartest one because he's like tried and tested. He is like that experience that like I don't have. He has all of that. And that's like, that would be like their question mark with picking me up, is I have no experience. I have just like a couple events, like EPLs, where we've have lost every game.
Yeah. You got to get that experience somehow though.
Exactly.
Yeah. You got to lose at one point to start winning.
Exactly.
You can't make a game 7 winner without losing 3 games before game 7.
Exactly.
There we go. I want to talk about Depp, because I think most people thought he died under a rock for a bit because they hadn't heard his name for a while.
Yeah.
But he's the latest of like many converts that have come that went to Valorant at the beginning and have now come back. So how do you think that the like 2 year hiatus from Counter-Strike has helped him, has pushed him in a different direction, has helped you guys out, or was it just Valorant was not the right fit and he ended up coming back?
Honestly, I never even spoke to him before, before he even left. So I have no idea who he was as a person before, like in old CS days. But I mean, like he's definitely like since coming back, like he's definitely, I mean, that was one of my question marks too. I was like, Def's coming back. Like this guy hasn't played the game in forever. Like how beneficial is he really going to be as like a coach, right? Because at the same time, we're learning meta, we're learning spots. How beneficial is he going to be? Because he hasn't even been in this meta for so long. But he's definitely, excelled my expectations kind of at the beginning, like already in this beginning. He's been so far like a really good coach. He's already practically re-caught up, which is like perfect. And I'm super, super excited to be playing with him.
Has he Freudian slipped with Vandal instead of AK yet?
No.
Okay, good. That's a good mark.
I don't think I've heard any slip ups of Valorant, not a single one.
It's a good thing. I hope you don't. That's
yeah. It's just proof that he always wants to be playing Counter Strike.
I mean, that's the majority of Valorant players. But
yeah. I want to talk about new Counter Strike. I want to talk about Counter Strike 2 for a second. Do you have access? Let's start.
Of course.
There. Okay. So I'm the only one here without access. Oh, lovely.
Loser.
Helpless ratio. Trust me, I've been trying to see if we can get me access, but doesn't look like it.
Yeah, access to unreleased microphones, but not to Counter Strike.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
I want to talk about how you think that within the coming months, because the game will come out in the next month or so, or 2 months, or whatever. Right? They say summer, but Valve time means that maybe like October or something.
Yeah.
And then we'll inevitably switch over in like December or whatever because we have the deadline of. What is it, March next year to hit? Or it's like March or May or something like that for the major. So we'll eventually move over within the next couple of months, and so that way people have time to actually play tournaments on it before we get thrown into a major of just CS2 for the first time ever. How do you think that the new mechanics in CS2 are going to change how teams are right now? And do you think that there's a way that some teams that were worse before get better because of how the game plays differently and vice versa?
I think your last statement there, I think that's definitely true. I think like the tier 2 teams are probably going to excel for sure. Tier 2, tier 3 teams are going to excel because like everyone's going to be like reinventing everything, right? The meta's completely gone and there's a whole new game practically.
Yeah.
Every smoke's different. Nades are different. Every lineup's different for everything. New spots on every maps, different angles, everything. I think that's where the tier 2 and tier 3 players are going to like excel, or teams are going to excel, because like then it's just pure innovation. And you're going to be seeing things that you've never seen before. Different strats, different lineups for things. It's going to be interesting with that. The game's like in an okay state, I'd say. My whole question mark about it is that it's still 64 tick. Like, will 120 tick be a thing? Maybe. I think someone's already done it.
Yeah, I think someone did it and there was differences, but it wasn't ridiculously different.
Yeah.
I also have faith that like Valve is they're touting this new sub tick thing, which like as a nerd is a good thing for them to switch
to.
But it's not there yet, but it seems that they're making updates to it. I think a lot of the movement related updates that they're making actually have to do with like tick rate and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that making it feel like normal 128 tick phase it right now is that it's kind of in the way that the server functions, less that the game functions itself. So I'm hoping they're making more and more updates on that on the back end as they go through.
I'd hope so as well. I mean, like, it's still 64. Like, it clearly feels, I don't know, at least for like me, I'm sure like many other like pros and stuff that are always playing 128 tick, you can easily tell the difference. Immediately, as soon as you get on a server, oh, okay, it's 64 tick. Like, there's no question about it at all. Like, the sprays, so like spraying a gun, they feel different because the sprays are horrible. It's literally 64 tick. That's why. 128 tick sprays feel great. 64 ticks are different just because, like, you're pulling down, then like your spray pattern is at a different tick rate than it normally is. So it's everything's off in that sense. The movement's still off a little bit. The movement can be tinkered with, which is like, I think like Malbs, or not Malbs, Rops. It's like some command to mess with it. And it felt a lot better in that sense, which is good. But like there's a lot of random things. Like it feels like when you're shooting, everything's slightly delayed a little bit, at least for me. Like it sounds like audio is a little delayed. Audio is very muffled, like the whole echoey audio. Yeah.
I think Jacob Hoffman, who works does too for other people. He does ESL Challenger production and stuff. He came out with a thread specifically about audio in Counter-Strike 2 and about the imaging of the different audio, and said it's not there yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah,
and how it was totally different, which is not something I had seen before that. Which is its own weird thing of audio, because it's important.
Very. Makes the game. But yeah, like, I think it was most noticeable about like how bad and not in a good state it was on Nuke. Like, you can't hear everything, like, on, like, if you're on A and on B, everything's super quiet and super muffled, even though it's literally right below you.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it just feels weird, and it just feels like you can't pinpoint it as well as you should.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think the way everything's changed as well, I think they've now introduced Vertigo and they've not changed anything on Vertigo.
Yeah.
But that map is going to play completely differently, because the map is so like one way smoke heavy. Like there's like the crane smoke that people always play under. There's the ramp smoke. So what that map, even though nothing has changed, will play completely differently. I'm a bit worried that it's going to be horrible to watch, because you won't be able to use these gimmicks and stuff. It's just going to be stand behind smokes.
Smoke spams will be new, because you can actually like make holes in the smoke.
Not
now.
Really.
You could sort of make a hole, but not really. The HE getting rid of the smoke is more important. You can. I got griefed by a teammate yesterday. So I was playing behind the smoke in Monster, and he HE'd the smoke, and I got killed through it, which is new. You couldn't do that before. But the shooting through the smoke is only really noticeable around the edges of it, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so as well. I think like shooting through like the middle is like makes a very small hole, but like the edges makes it a little bit bigger. I think I've only done it once where I've been able to kill somebody like from shooting through a hole. It's a very, very situational. But definitely like the HEs is the fun part. It's like they smoke window mirage, you're like, oh, hold on. HE peak with an op, boom, we get an instant entry. It's like, oh yeah, you're mad.
I think you're gonna need to as well, because like you can't one-way smoke in con anymore.
Yeah. They made them shorter. I think you can.
Oh, okay.
So they made all the smoke shorter. So now, like, if you smoke the bottom of con, it is short enough to one-way over it. I think when they released a Nuke, they made all the smoke shorter.
Oh, okay, yeah. We'll see. I remember when I tried to do it on Mirage, it had no luck. Unless you landed it outside, in which case you could sort of see over it.
I think they adjusted that because they changed the height of them.
Interesting.
I want to talk about just generic Counter-Strike. I want to talk about Blast for a second.
Okay.
I assume you've been watching at least some of it.
Not a ton. I've been busy.
Not a ton is okay. I'm okay with not a ton. The reason I ask about this is because there's been about a million teams in Blast that made roster changes, right? Of EU teams on their own, right? Before we got to what happened in NA, and I can't even keep track of what happened in Brazil. Absolutely insane. So what I wanted to know is like early first reaction, like gut feeling of like what your thoughts were about like new look Na'Vi.
I'd say it's honestly really good signs. Very like a lot of hope in that Na'Vi roster to be kind of, I'd say, still putting up good performances with a complete lead. You're reforming an entire team. I'd say it's a good look, because what they beat Astralis 2-1. Beat Big 2-0, lost to the unnamed team, again today.
It's Heroic.
Unnamed team.
Okay.
And I mean, like, they're even like the matches against them like are just super close. I'd say it's probably like it's a really good look. I know that Blade likes a lot of structure. So that I think it was him with Alexa B. So I think that's gonna be like a good potential matchup there, like the coach and IGL in that sense. And then JL and I think IM's looked really, really good so far. So I'd say Yes, I'd say definitely a good look.
Okay. And then do you think that there's any team that made a move that's just that they've become instantly worse and are going to be disappointing to viewers at one point? And I'm not trying to make you shit talk teams. I'm really not.
So I'd say the only team for sure would be like either EG Black or OG in that sense. I mean, OG just got absolutely demolished. They looked like they weren't even like a competitive at that sense. I mean, they got close to beating FaZe, but that was like the very first match, a little bit of nerves getting back in the rhythm of things.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of got dismantled a little bit. And then EG Black for me is just a question mark. Cause like, they're EG Black to me, even though they have automatic.
Yeah, I was gonna say the problem is that I called them EG Black earlier in like when we recorded yesterday before the rest of this episode. I called them EG Black too. They're the regular EG team. There is no EG Black anymore.
I know, but it's still EG Black.
I agree. And that's part of the problem on its own is this team. It doesn't feel like it's a regular like an EPL or a Blast partner team. It feels like it's an academy team that's like masquerading itself with an EPL slot.
Yeah, I have faith in them to like get significantly better like in quick. It's just gonna be very, very hard to do.
Yeah. The first couple months are gonna be rough.
Very rough.
It's not like they're used to that anyway. Like they've been used to like they almost might as well go with the EG Black roster because they weren't winning anyway. You might as well. It gives some like players experience and see if like they get better because the current roster, the old roster wasn't doing that anyway.
Yeah. It was so weird. Like, I think they said like somewhere that like kind of like EG Black. I think it was like hinted that EG Black was kind of like their main like priority and like that's kind of what they wanted to do. But they were willing to throw a bag at all these European players, an absolute bag to get a whole European roster and just drop probably several million dollars.
Yeah. Which is so weird because it seems like they're cutting costs everywhere other than
that.
Oh yeah, I mean they tried to sign like Electronic and Zorty and Elise,
insane,
right?
They were basically giving them a blank paycheck saying whatever you want, write in the
numbers,
we'll pay it.
Yep. Absolutely insane. Do you have anything you'd like to talk about like specifically?
Anyone you want to talk shit about?
That too? We will absolutely do that.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm excited. We're going to be going to Europe soon. So that's always excitement. Another thing with M80 is they want to keep us in Europe basically as much as they can.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how you learn, basically, unfortunately. But yeah, they want to keep us in Europe as much as they can in between NA events and stuff like that. So we're going to be heading to Europe shortly, maybe in like a couple weeks. I think it's going to be right after IEM Fall. and then we're going to go European boot camp to Malta, and then I think back to stay in Europe for another month or so. So that's super exciting. I've never been there for that long. I can't wait for that. Think they are trying to get us to go to the UK to play from the UK. So I think that's out of Schengen, right? Or isn't Schengen? It's out of Schengen? Yeah. So that's why I'm assuming, because you can only be in Schengen for I think 6 months before you need visas. Well, me and Rec and Malps, that is. But at the other thing is like NA events, there's no NA events.
Yeah.
It's sad.
I'm hoping they come back. What's really sad to me is I was in Philly last year for Fragadelphia. I was like with Ryan and stuff and sitting in the little media area. And it didn't even like pertain to me at that point that was going to be the last one for a while because we haven't heard anything about another one this year and stuff. And it's like, I'm ready to go. And just, it isn't there. And that on its own is real saddening to me. Because that was the one NA event I could count on every year.
Yeah. I mean, because I think it's expected that NA events are going to be around the same time as next year, so before summer player break.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you guys saw, but they released the major dates.
Oh, yes. We were very aware.
I'm such very happy about that.
Okay.
That's great news because it is the last event before player break.
Thank you.
Very exciting move.
We've been saying this for a while that the two events after don't matter at all and are stupid and should not exist.
Yep,
yeah, that the is, fact that one of although, the NA events you got was Dallas and it was like half
and they
their
didn't
teams.
Matter.
It's like,
yeah.
Well, two both the NA events we got.
Yeah.
DC was right after.
Blast, yeah. They're just all dead teams and like just dead teams walking. And it's just like really, it's really sad for like the player experience or the viewer experience.
I mean, it's probably sad for the player experience too. They got to sit there with teammates that
they know.
Yeah, you got to still play two more events, and it's like I hate you.
Yeah, that must be horrible. Like, if you know you're being cut and you have to play with these people, you're like, I don't want to help you guys. Like, you want to get rid of me?
Yeah. I mean that's definitely going to be an exciting change. Their Dust2 article just released ESL bans Crocs.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
I saw it.
I saw YNK talking about it.
Esports is anti-Crocs.
Last
year, League of Legends Worlds, player went on stage with Crocs, was told he had to go back and get regular shoes.
It's crazy.
Like, esports is anti-Crocs.
We need a boycott.
They should ban Crocs and socks together, I think.
I agree.
I don't think you should be able to wear
criminal.
But like one of them on their own.
Yeah, it's criminal.
You think just socks are fine?
Just socks, I think, is fine. Like, no free feet picks, but
yeah,
socks.
I can't imagine a player, like, walking out on, like, the blast, like, the giant blast thing that, like, goes up, like, the elevator thing, with just socks on.
That'd be pretty funny.
That would absolute banger.
Worse with Crocs?
No. Socks is bad. I mean, barefoot would be the worst.
Yeah, that would be... imagine having to walk down the... Like, oh my god.
Oh.
At the major, right, they have that like giant like inlet thing that goes like the middle with it. Imagine having to walk down that barefoot. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's giving me anxiety.
Oh,
yeah, I've got two questions to ask.
Okay.
By 2024, will you be the best North American team?
Yes.
Okay. Correct answer. And if you're staying in the UK, because there's no Fragadelphia, will you instead be going to Epic LAN and
I don't know what that is.
Wait, exactly. Hey, it's basically a UK LAN where players just go and
fuck around.
They claim to play Counter-Strike. I wouldn't call it that, but
so it's like an IESF.
Yeah, yes. it's like Fragadelphia, but even less serious.
Serious.
Yeah, yes, no, it's less serious.
That's interesting. I didn't know that was possible.
Trust me, I was blown away when I saw photos and stuff from the event, and it was less.
Oh yeah, it's
are people like drinking and stuff during the matches, or is that too far?
Sometimes,
interesting.
You get teams of like there's a team that go there, like four or five like casters or like talent,
yeah.
And they'll just like they're like level six or something, and they'll just go to groups and obviously lose.
There's also no run-up because Fragadelphia has the whole like qualifier run-up. So everyone that goes to LAN in Philly is like somewhat serious about what they're doing.
Yeah.
There's no serious.
Yeah, it's just like
anyone
just can sign up.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, hell, you might see me there.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
Excellent.
All right. Well, with that, I need to get back to my day job and we're going to let you get on with your day.
For sure.
Thank you for joining us. That's it.
Of course. Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Fuck, you're still here? All right. I guess since you made it all the way to the end, it means you actually like the podcast and you listen to all things. So maybe you should come hang out with the rest of the TLDR crew in our Discord. You can find the Discord at discord.gg/TLDR. We keep it a tight-knit bunch. And, you know, we should talk EG and Ellie. We'll see you there.